Again, it's our pleasure to welcome you today. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you on this last day of May, first day of the week. The Book of God teaches that life is the gift of God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse 7, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Paul affirmed in preaching in Acts 17 and verse 28 that it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Jesus stated, as recorded in John 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Writing the saints in Rome in chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul said that the gift of God is eternal life. In the latest Tractor Act supply that you've seen, A New Day, it features the tagline, everything you need for life. And so the Tractor Supply people claim to supply everything you need for life. I got to thinking about that and want to make spiritual application of that in our study. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and in verse 3, Peter, in writing to those who had obtained like precious faith, pointed out that God, according as his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life. And so God has given everything you need for life. In the good scripture reading from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul penned, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, God has provided everything you need for life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say, all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The fact that you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and all good works is evidence that the scriptures contain everything you need for life. Got to think of just what exactly is needed for life. First of all, there must be the new birth. After all, it's kind of hard to have life if you haven't been born. Right? In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, we have the example where our Lord talked to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, about that. He acknowledged that Jesus was a teacher come from God, and Jesus answered, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7 he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is accomplished by the word of God. As Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Paul taught that this new birth is effected by the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, he said, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. James expressed that in James 1:18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And so everything you need for life, for the new birth to be effected, God has fully provided and supplied within his word. The second thing that you need for life is food to grow. And the Bible makes its appeal to each of us, but grow, in 2 Peter 3:18. Likewise, in Paul's Ephesian letter, he said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's Ephesians 4:15. It takes proper nutrients to grow. Milk and meat are required. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? What's the intent? That ye may grow thereby. One reason some don't grow thereby is the lack of spiritual desire of the milk. Hebrews 5, 12, and 14 talk about milk and meat. When he said, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and and not of strong meat. He said strong meat belonged to them that are full age. And so milk and meat are needed to grow, and God has provided everything you need to grow spiritually within this boy. Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:35. And he offers living water, like to the woman at the well of John 4:14. And he has the kind of water that you drink thereof, you'll never thirst again. And so everything you need to satisfy your spiritual hunger and thirst, God has provided. Something else that you need for life is light in this dark world. Paul talked about in the context of putting on the whole armor of God. It is recorded in Ephesians 6:12. The darkness of this world. This world can be a very, very dark place. And so we need light to guide us and furnish the illumination that we need along life's pathway. Everything you need for light in this dark world, God's provided, as his word is light. In Psalm 119:105, the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. No need to be in darkness today when we have the Lord's word. We have Christ, as he said, I am the light of the world. John 8:12, and God is light. John said, in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. But as I thought about everything you need for life, something else came to mind. You need an example to follow, right? We have that as well. Everything you need for life in this book, in Christ, in 1 Peter 2:21, I read where it is said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us. Among the things the Lord left us is what? An example that ye should follow his steps. And so in various situations of life, you need an example, someone to look to. It doesn't make any difference what it may be. You can look to Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 13, and in verse 15. Remember the meeting of Jesus with his disciples, in which he made this statement. I've given you an example that ye should do as I've done. You never go wrong in doing as he did. But us folk, we need rules to live by. Imagine a place, a society, where there are no rules. In 2 Timothy 2:5, Paul, inviting Timothy, said, if a man also strive for mastery, that is, if he competes in athletics, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. To win the prize, you have to compete or play by the rules. Right? And so where there are no rules, who wins? Show me a game where there's no rules and tell me who wins. No one wins. This book contains rules by which to live. In Galatians 6:16, Paul said, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. He had this to say, among other things, to the Philippians in chapter 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk out, Paul, by the same rule. Rules to live by include denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live out soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Titus 2:12. In life, we need rules to live by. And God's provided, he supplied everything you need for life in this book. But in addition to that, do you need strength for the day? Some days are difficult, aren't they? A lot of problems in life. So I need strength for the day. And the Bible appeals to me to be strong, and you as well. Among admonitions for Christians in 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, be strong. We've got an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. We need strength, as Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 10, among the Bible finals, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His appeal, among others, to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:1. My son, be what? Be strong. Have you said that to your children? Have you emphasized the need? Maybe we need to do that from time to time. Son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we need strength, don't we? Everything you need for life. Where is it? It's in this book. Through the Lord. And the psalmist, in Psalm 119 and verse 28, said, my soul melteth for heaviness. You have a melting soul? Here's the remedy. Here's the solution. Strengthen thou me. Where's the strength come? According unto thy word. We need strength. We need to be strong. God provides the strength that we need to get us through the heaviness that causes our souls to melt within his word. And we can adopt the attitude that Paul manifested when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. You know, when he came to the end of life's way, he said, I have fought. I have kept. I have finished. How could he do that? How could you keep it, Paul? How could you fight? How could you finish? Because he had this attitude, I can. You think he would have kept? You think he would have fought? You think he would have finished? If he thought all along, I can't, I can't, I can't. And so the strength that you need for the day, everything you need for life, remember, God has provided. I tell you something else, though, when you think about everything you need for life, not only do I need strength for the day, I need hope for tomorrow. Where would we be without hope? Hopeless. What a place to be. No need to be without hope. For God's word furnishes us hope. The psalmist looked to God's word as his hope. In Psalm 119 and verse 49, he said, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And then in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope. Those last three words. In thy word. Slide down to verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Two verses later he said, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. God's word was his hope. Is it yours? Paul talked to the saints in Rome about the hope of the scriptures. In Romans 15 and verse 4. If you're looking for hope today, look to the word of God. It teaches that we're saved by hope. Romans 8 24. And the hope that we have spiritually is made possible by the resurrection of Jesus. And talking about non-resurrection consequences. 1 Corinthians 15 19. If there be no resurrection, he said, in this life only we have hope in Christ, where of all men most miserable. That's what we'll be if no resurrection. In 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3, Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Everything you need for life, you need hope. We have hope by Christ. He is our hope. Pointing out the before and after picture of the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul said, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Without Christ, they were without hope. For he, as Paul said in Colossians 1 and verse 27, is the hope of glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, when Apostle wrote to Timothy, he said, Christ, which is our hope. We have hope of eternal life in Christ. Titus 1:2 and 3:7, which serves, as the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6:18-19, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You need an anchor? Everything you need for life, God has provided. And hope serves as that anchor for the soul. How about peace for the mind? Is your mind at peace? Would you like to have peace of mind? Because I need some of that. Well, everything you need for life, God has given. And He's given peace for the mind. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Instead of worrying about it, tell it to God. Let Him take care of it. And He said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Because I need peace of mind. Guess what? You can have it. Because God has given, in His Word, through His Son, everything you need for life. Hope you never forget that. In Psalm 119, in verse 165, the psalmist recognized that peace is associated with the Lord's Word. He said, great peace have they that love thy law. Are you a law lover? Then you know something about that, don't you? In John 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. No need to be troubled in heart. No need to be fearful in heart. Because everything you need to have peace for your mind, God has given. In Romans 5 and verse 1, by Christ we can have peace with God. As Paul said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2 and 14, Paul said to Christ, He is our peace. Peace. Very pleasant word. The world needs more peace. And until the world is converted to Christ, there will be a lot of tribulation in the world. Also, listen, I say something else I need. You think that God has provided everything we need? I need comfort. A lot of affliction in this world. I'm afflicted. I need comfort in affliction. God supplied that. There's no greater source of comfort that can come to the heart than the comfort God's Word affords. And there's lots of times in which we're afflicted various ways. Afflictions come in various forms and fashions. No matter what the affliction, no matter how severe it may be, God's Word provides the comfort you'll need to get you through that. Psalm 119 and verse 50. The psalmist said, this is my comfort and my affliction. What is that? Thy word. And then in verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Down in verse 92, he said, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Some people do. They perish in their affliction. So sad. No need to perish in your affliction when God's law can be your delights and bring comfort to you. Remember the psalmist in Psalm 23 and verse 4? A passage of comfort, great comfort, often read at the passing of loved ones. When the psalmist, David, as a shepherd, who knew all about that, as a shepherd boy, tending sheep, said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Everything you need for life. Comfort. Thessalonians needed some of that, didn't they? 1 Thessalonians 4, they were concerned about those who had died. Paul taught that they not be ignorant about that. Talked about the fact that When Christ comes, those that are in the grave shall rise, and those who are living will be caught up together with them in the clouds to ever be with the Lord. And in light of that, he said, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 18. You're looking for comfort. I turn you to the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul talked about, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You need something else for life? How about your memory? Need something for your memory? Because I wish I had something I could take from my memory. Or my husband's or my wife. She needs a good memory stirring. My mind needs stirred for the memory's sake. And God's provided that too, hasn't he? Those of you who've read and studied 2 Peter know that it's designed to stir the mind for the memory. And Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So my mind needs some stirring for the memory's sake. And Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, that as long as he was in this tabernacle, he's going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. How important is it? Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, saved if. What's the salvation condition upon? If you keep in memory, he said, what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain, if you forget what you've learned, what you've been taught, then you believe in vain. It's all for naught. So we got to have our memories intact, spiritually. We need to be reminded. We need to be put in mind. And everything we need to remember for life, we can read in this book. Acts 3:1, put them in mind. To be subject to principalities and powers, to be magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Something else you need for life. How about a friend on your side? Need a friend? I don't know of anything worse in life than being alone, do you? Not having anybody, not having a friend. Need somebody like that, don't you? There's no greater friend you ever had in all the world at any time than Jesus. You think about that. He's my friend. I'll be a friend of Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, beginning at verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Sometimes you have to stand up for truth and against some things, and that involves you standing. And no man standing with you. But you're never alone, really, when you have the Lord on your side. As Paul experienced, he said in 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17, at my first answer, no man stood with me. And all men forsook me. He prayed God it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. As he stood with Paul, he'll be your friend to stand by your side. John taught in 1 John 2 and in verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is one called to our side to plead our cause. Who is that? Jesus Christ, the righteous. As you think about everything you need for life, whether you realize it or not, you need salvation for the soul. And as we read from 2 Peter 1, 3, Philippians 4, 19, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, other passages that would support that idea. God has given everything you need for life, and includes salvation for the soul. Because of sin, that's needed. For all of sin, Romans 3, 23. And the wages of sin is death, that's eternal death, Romans 6, 23. I said, where do I go? Where do I turn? Where do I look for my soul's salvation? Look to this book. Look to the Word of God. As the psalmist, who in Psalm 119 and in verse 41 spoke these words so long ago. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. James instructed those of his day, James 1:21, receive with meekness. Receive what? The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. There is no salvation apart from the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord points out that salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. Jesus was born to save. The woman named Mary would bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. In Luke 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There is salvation in none other, Peter said. Acts 4:12, none other than Jesus. He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. And he's able even to save the chiefest of sinners. For Paul said in 1 Timothy 1, and in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Everything you need for life, doesn't make any difference what it is, God has given, God has supplied in his word through his son. Hope you'll never forget that. Hope that'll mean something to you. We invite you in light of that to come to God, believing on his Son, and in heard his word. Repenting of your sins, to confess your faith, to be buried with him by baptism, and then raised to walk in newness of life. You need hearing. Matthew 17, 5, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. You need faith. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, 6. You need repentance. God commandeth all men ever to repent. Acts 17, 30. You need confession, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9, and 10. You need baptism, for he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. You need faithfulness, for John, revealing the words of our Lord, said, be thou faithful unto death. Not give thee a crown of life. You need steadfastness. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 15. Everything you need to have life, to have it more abundantly, has been given. It's supplied. If you're not a child of God, you can be, you need to be. We urge you to be. If you obey the gospel, but you're not faithful, you need to be restored, you need to return. Everything you need to make that happen. God's provided. Even in that condition, need repentance. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. You need prayer. Pray God. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. Or the words of the apostle to Simon, whose heart was not right in the sight of God. And John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You need forgiveness. You need cleansing. Everything you need is available. If you come now, I'll always stand and sing the song.